Taken from Acts, chapter 18, verses 14 to 24, and it reads, "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not in the right heart before God. Repent before of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if any possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may happen to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Happy New Year. This is my bad Chinese version. Gong hei fa choy. And I know there's another way to say it, so feel free to encourage to teach me later the other way to say it as well. But we gather on this wonderful Chinese New Year Sunday to worship the Lord together, to be in fellowship together, and to continue to talk about evangelism, specifically personal evangelism and what we are called to do. To minister to another person, a friend, a loved one, a co-worker, someone we know who needs Christ in their lives. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these words speak your truth, reflect the wisdom of the scriptures, that you know the thoughts and reflections we have in our hearts, that they be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So it is the start of a new Lunar New Year, and if you follow some of the traditional Chinese rules and regulations and traditions, you prepare for the Chinese New Year. My house was a little bit crazy. It was just me, so I felt like I was doing a lot. I wanted to clean before the new year. I couldn't sweep on the new year, so everything was done before. I cut my hair, if you notice, because you're not supposed to cut your hair. My household, when I grew up, was really strict. On New Year's Day, you were not allowed to cut anything. My grandmother would not let us use a knife to cut bread or food or meat. We couldn't use scissors to cut anything. She even hid the knives and scissors on New Year's Day from our household. But all households do something to prepare for this wonderful New Year day. What I'm asking us to do, though, as Christians, is to prepare ourselves to be evangelists, not just on one day of the year, not just on one Sunday day of the week, but all the year through. And as we have talked about these past Sundays, and you'll see on the back of your worship bulletin, the different ways that we as personal evangelisms must do. We must be actively telling of the activity of God in our lives. We must be listening to the spiritual needs of our friends. We must be regularly praying for our friends. We must be sharing the gospel and also leading people to desire to surrender one's life to Him. Now, you've heard these over and over and over again each Sunday, and we know repetition is good. It's a thing that will help us learn things. I'm actually going to ask now Kimmy and I think Jenny to pass out a piece of white paper. I hope I have enough. We might have to share with some family members. And as they were passing it out, and during my sermon, I encourage you to write on this white piece of paper a thing about how God is active in your life, something that you were thankful for that God has placed in your life, or just something that you would share with other people about how great God is in your life. Remember, though, that the first part of being in personal evangelism is the active telling of the activity of God in your life. as I said before, it's not enough for us to say, God is great, God is awesome. We have all these wonderful songs and sayings about how great and powerful and mighty God is, but we are not good about telling how God is active in our lives. How when we were sick, God helped heal us. How when we were lonely, God placed someone in our lives. We must be active in telling how God is active in our own lives. So I encourage you during the sermon to write something that you are thankful for God for, and even if you can, go a step further and write how God is active or has helped you in your life. That is one of the first parts of personal evangelism, and if we can't even do that first part, then how can we do the others? To listen to a spiritual need of a friend, to pray for that friend regularly, to share the gospel, and to also do that final step, to lead people to the desire to surrender one's life to God. As I've shared in the past, each step is hard to achieve, but the reward is so great when we reach that final and last step. Now think about someone in your life, whether it is a friend, a coworker, a schoolmate, or even a family member who does not yet have Christ in their heart. This morning, as I continue to have us look at the D-U-H of personal evangelism, we are going to look at H, what it means to have a heart for the Lord. Personal evangelism, if you remember, is us evangelizing one-on-one, one person to another person. The church, as I've said before, is great at doing corporate evangelism. We have worship services where we interact with each other and worship. We sing songs together. We tell about God's greatness and the activity of God in our life. Even sharing of joys and concerns is actively telling about God in our lives. But it's corporate. I'm asking us to now think about personal evangelism. One person ministering and telling about God and how God has affected and transformed their lives to another person. We are going to look now at personal evangelism and what it means to have a heart for the Lord. In this morning's scripture passage, we learn about a man named Simon. And they say that Simon, he practiced magic. It was really fun. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to Baby Christian's first one-year birthday party. And they had a magician at the birthday party. I can't remember the magician's name. I don't know, Tanya, what was your... Harvey. Oh, what a great name for a magician. So Harvey the magician, he did a lot of fun things. He did balloon animals. He had this wonderful box, and I got excited about the box because he said this box was like a money box where he covered the box with a cloth, but he showed the box first. He put his hand in the box. It was completely empty. He turned the box upside down so people could see nothing was in this great black box. And he said it was a special box that brings money. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. We wish we had this at the church, right? A box that you could say magic words and money would suddenly appear. And then he covered the box with a cloth, and he asked the audience to help him say these three words, show me the money, or four words. And he kept saying, show me the money. But as he was giving instructions, every once in a while, he'd say bunny instead of money. He'd say, show me the bunny. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not bunny, money. And then he'd say, okay, now we're going to say these words, show me the bunny. Oh, no, not bunny, money. But he said bunny over and over and over again. So by the time we were all ready to say it together out loud and for him to say the magic words over the box, he, of course, said, show me the bunny. So what do you think happened when he removed the cloth? What was inside that box? The bunny, yeah. So the kids loved it. The adults were a little bit like, oh, okay. And I was disappointed. It wasn't a magic money box. There wasn't money magically in the box. But he practiced magic. Now, when we look at Simon from this morning's passage, Simon, they say, practiced magic in the city. If you read Acts chapter 8 earlier on, starting with verse 9, they say that he practiced magic in the city, and the people of Samaria, they were amazed. They say that he was someone great because he had all this magic. And then all of them, from the least to the greatest, they listen to them eagerly. They say, this man has power. This power is great. It must be from God. And they listened to him for a long time because he kept amazing them with his magic. So Simon, he knew magic. He knew the tricks. He could, in a way, then perform miracles, just as the apostles and the new disciples were doing as they were going from town to town. But we see in this morning's passage that when Philip and the other disciples arrive in Samaria, they begin to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ, baptizing both men and women. Philip and the apostles, they were practicing personal evangelism. They were telling of the good news, they were reaching out to people individually, and they were helping to baptize each person individually. Simon, it says himself, he was a believer. Now remember, he practiced magic, but it was wonderful to hear that he was also a believer. And after Simon was baptized, he stayed constantly with Philip because he saw all the signs and miracles that Philip did that took place. It was Simon who was a magician or practicing of great acts himself, looking at someone, Philip, who did even greater acts than him, and he followed him day by day. But here is the problem with Simon. He knew the actions, the motions. He knew how to perform the magic. And even when he saw Philip performing all these wonderful and amazing deeds, decided to follow Philip. But Simon didn't know what gave him the power. He didn't have the belief in God that Philip had. So this morning's passage that Chris read, we know that when the apostles are in Jerusalem and they hear that Samaria has accepted the word of God, they send Peter and John to this place. And Peter and John went and they prayed that the Holy Spirit would be received in the city of Samaria. And then they baptized people in the name of the Lord. Peter and John laid their hands on the people so that they received the Holy Spirit. They received the knowledge, the truth that the Holy Spirit gave them about God's love and the forgiveness of sins available through Jesus Christ. Now, Samaria itself is an interesting place. It's on the northern border of Israel near Jerusalem. They say maybe 30 miles away. But the people of Samaria, they were considered foreigners. They were looked down upon. People would not walk the same path that they knew a Samaritan had walked. You know the story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan. And one of the reasons that makes that story so powerful is that it was a Samaritan, an outcast, a person who was considered a foreigner who helped someone. So it's so fitting in this morning's passage that Peter and John go to the place, a place of Samaria where people were considered unclean, sinful, outcast. They were welcoming them and they were ministering to them. They were doing what God had called them to do. In today's news in our own country, we hear the news of the President Trump's executive order to ban for 90 to 100 days persons from certain countries entering inside the U.S. It's hard for us as Christians to hear this ban and the mistreatment of people just based on the country they are from. We hear in the news that even those who have visas or work permits or green cards are still not allowed in the country because of where they are from. Can you imagine if the apostles of that time treated people that way? If said, oh, you are from Samaria. That is a foreign place. That is a place where it is not good people. We won't minister to you. Then the church would have stopped. The love of God would have stopped being spread. But no, we have in this morning's passage that Peter and John specifically went to Samaria to welcome the people, to tell them of the good news and God's love, and to baptize them, to lay their hands on them and ask that the Holy Spirit be received in that place. They were spreading God's love, and the Holy Spirit came. And one of the reasons it's so powerful, the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit brings unity. For Samaria needed unity, people to be united, to love one another, and to worship God and believe in Christ together. And then we have Simon, who, when he sees the Holy Spirit was given through the laying of the hands on the apostles, he offers them money. He says this is such great power that they have, that they can lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit can come. And I, as a person who practices magic, I want that power. I'm going to give them money to do that. This is the problem with Simon. He was so transfixed with the action and the magic and the splendor that he didn't know the truth behind the things. The Holy Spirit didn't come because Peter and John laid hands. The Holy Spirit didn't just come because people were being baptized by water. The Holy Spirit didn't just come because all of a sudden new believers were forming. The Holy Spirit came because people opened their hearts, accepted Jesus Christ, and had a heart for the Lord. Simon was so transfixed with the actions and these magical outcomes that he didn't know the true meaning behind these actions. He didn't understand that it was having a heart for the Lord that brought the Holy Spirit forward. There's an analogy kind of about realizing that. They say a mother took her child to the zoo, and it was the child's first time at the zoo. And she was really excited. So every time they would go to a new animal exhibit, the mother would clap her hands excitedly and then point, "Look, honey, look at the tiger." And then they'd go on and she'd clap her hand and say, "Look, look, honey, look at the monkey." Or she'd clap her hands and look, "Look, look, look at the otter." So every time they went to a new cage or a new exhibit in the zoo, she would clap her hands and point to the animal, hoping to help her child be excited about the animal and spot the animal more easily. So then the mother went home, and the next day, the child walked around the house doing this. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" And the child said, "I want to see a koala, you know, or I want to see an owl." So he went around the house or in the backyard or in front of their yard, clapping his hands and pointing, because that was what he associated with making an animal appear. It was at the zoo. Every time he saw an animal, it was because his mother, in his childlike mind, did this and pointed, and yes, there was an animal. So the childlike belief that that was all it would take to make an animal appear, to clap your hands and point as his mother did, is what we as believers fall into the trap of, thinking that we know the actions. We pray, we give offering, we can read the Bible, we know the actions, but we don't understand how the outcome comes if we don't have a heart for the Lord, to know the truth behind how these things are possible. It is because of Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for the on the cross, that we can have unbreakable faith. It is because that Jesus Christ was diligent in his ministry and taught his apostles, and the apostles then taught others, that we can be strong in our faith and diligent in our practices. So yes, we can and must do the actions. We must pray, we must listen, we must attend worship, we must study and read the Bible, but we also must have a true heart for the Lord to know the reason behind all that we do. It's because we have surrendered our life to the Lord, and that we know that we receive God's love and mercy, eternal life with him, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That is what Simon didn't know. He thought he could just buy that power. He thought he could bring the Holy Spirit forward by paying off the disciples to teach them how to do that. And Peter's answer to him in this morning's passage is, "You, your silver will perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God." Peter then tells Simon to repent of his wicked ways and to pray for the Lord, that the intent of his heart may be forgiven, for he has bitterness and wickedness in chains. Simon is told that his heart is not right for the Lord. He thinks he can just buy this power. He can buy faith or belief. He is learning that he is not having a heart for the Lord. They say that Simon was one of the first Christian heretics. A heresy is when you commit an action or you have thoughts that are against the Lord or against the church. They call it actually simony, S-I-M-O-N-Y. And simony is the action of heresy where you believe you can buy the Holy Spirit or buy your way or favor into the church. We cannot buy our way or favor into the church. We can help our church in ministry with the funds that we give, but we must also have a heart for the Lord. So when we say we want to evangelize to people, we know what it means to tell about the active activity of God in our life. We know what it means to listen to someone's spiritual needs. We know what it means to regularly pray for the person, to share the gospel with that person, and to lead them to surrender their life to God, because we ourselves have a heart for the Lord, meaning we have surrendered our life to God. We must seek to do each level. And I invite you now, on the piece of white paper that you received, to think about a blessing that God has placed in your life. To write down maybe a way that God was active or has helped you in your life, or even just write down the name of a friend, someone you know you want to evangelize to tell them more about God's presence in your life, how God could be present in their life, and to pray for them as you share the gospel and lead them to surrender their life. So take a few moments to write something on that piece of paper. Okay. So you'll have a few more minutes to write down something, and later when we collect the offering, we will have the bags for you to place your offering. If you have the Chinese New Year envelope for your Chinese New Year offering, you can place those in the offering bag as well. I have extra envelopes if you want to get one after worship. You could always bring the offering next Sunday if you forgot this Sunday. But we will also have the offering plate, and I'll ask the ushers to pass that around as well. I think because of time, we'll have to do the plate and the bag at the same time. So in the offering bag, you place your monetary offering. But on the plate, I ask you to fold that white piece of paper and place it on a plate. It's an offering to God, the writing of words of thanks that you gave, or to telling about how God was active in your life, or even the name of a person you know you need to evangelize to. We are offering these things, to especially on this Chinese New Year Sunday, and lifting them up to the Lord. Simon, this morning's passage, he closes by answering, "Pray for me to the Lord." He asked Peter and John to pray for him to the Lord, that nothing of what they have said will happen to him. Simon, though known as one of the first heretics, a heresy named after him, was also one of the first people in a way that the disciples truly did personal evangelism to. He understood that they would be able to pray for him. He understood what they were saying about having to have a heart for the Lord. And he understood that he must surrender his life to the Lord so that nothing bad will happen to him. Personal evangelism works. We see it in the Word of God in the Scripture passage. And we are called today to be personal evangelists, to reach out to one person, one-on-one, that we know needs God in their life. Let us pray. Lord, on this wonderful New Year Sunday, we continue to thank you for the blessings that you have placed in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you help us to have discipline as we tell about your greatness, to have unbreakable faith so that we may continue to pray for others and share the gospel, and to have a heart for you, Lord, fully, to know that our lives are saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, that we may then in turn tell all the world, personal friends, family, coworkers, and those we know that need your love, Lord, just as we have been blessed by your love. Continue to watch over us and to guide us in these times. In your Son's name, now and forever. Amen.